You can stay standing as we pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence today. We've come today to join our voices with Christians all over the world who are gathering right now, different time zones everywhere around the world, some under trees, some out on the beach, some in a forest, some on a mountain, some in the desert, some in large cities. But we join our voices with all of them today to praise you and to worship you and to give place to you today. Lord, we pray for everything that's going on in our world, your world, I mean. And we pray for your will to be done everywhere. We pray that people's minds would be fixed on you so you can fill us with your peace according to your word. Lord, we pray for Pastor Grant and his family as they experience the terrible loss of his father, and pray that you would just facilitate all the work that they need to do and following that up. We give that all to you, Lord, and we pray for Pastor Melody as she comes to bring us the word later on, that your anointing to just rest upon her, and we open our ears to hear what you would say. Lord, we purpose today, according to our motto, that we want to be transformed by you today. We want to follow you with all of our heart and all of our soul, with all of our strength. We want to love people, and we want to do some good in this community. Lord, we pray for our community. We pray for our city. We pray for our state and all the people who are in authority over us. We pray that your will be done in their lives and help them as they make decisions, that they would be righteous decisions. Now, Lord, we give our time to you today. This belongs to you. All time belongs to you. And so we just rejoice in your presence. Thank you for being here, Lord. Now we give ourselves to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Our text for this week is Nehemiah 6, 15 through 19. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to him, to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son, Jehohanan, had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and telling him what I said, and Tobiah kept sending letters to intimidate me. This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you, Rob. Good morning. You may take a seat if you're not already sitting. My name is Melody. I'm one of the pastors here. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Yeah? The AC is on. I said that this morning. Who was like, okay, I'll go because the AC is on? Who came because the coffee's ready? The other half of you. Okay, excellent. Well, I am so glad you are here. It is my privilege and my joy to be with you here this morning. Every Sunday, we like to remind you, don't tune me out, okay? We like to remind you of the cards and the seat backs in front of you. There are prayer cards, there are connect cards if you're new. There is giving envelopes, and I know we say it every week, but it's so important because, you know, our lives change week to week, yes? Anyone have something happen to them this week that wasn't happening before, or maybe, I don't know, whatever the situation is? So our needs change week to week, and so do our prayers. So please don't hesitate to fill them out. They're not just pieces of paper. They come directly into the hands of the pastors and the prayer team, if that's what you choose. And it's a good way for us to walk alongside you, hear your heart. So please don't hesitate to fill those out. And lastly, you will find also a giving envelope in there. We're a church that depends solely on the giving of our congregation. So as you are able, we ask that you would prayerfully give. Oh, someone's calling. Who's calling? Let's pick it up. Maybe it's Jesus. Was it? No. I don't know where that came from. I'm just looking in this direction. So as you are able, please give when you can. And lastly, as you came in, you should have received a calendar, either a women's event calendar or a men's event calendar, yes? Students have calendars. Also, all the calendars are out as we begin the fall season that's still 100 degrees, but here we call it fall. So please make sure you save those dates and details about the events come as the events get closer. So make sure you, if you didn't get one, grab one on your way out. Shall we pray together? Yes? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing everybody here, God. Lord, I pray as we just open your word and talk about life, that you would open our hearts, our ears, our mind to hear what you would have to say to each of us individually, God. God, would your spirit move in this place? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So some of you know that just recently I had a concentrated amount of time off. So 37 days to be exact. And those first 7 days, our family was down at the beach and we did the beach stuff. We rented a Duffy boat. We were out on the water, all the fun stuff. That was the first 7 days. But the rest of those 30 days, I was at home and I had the time off. And so, I don't usually have that amount of time off. So what would you do with 30 days of time off at home? What would some of you do? Just shout it. Sleep. Sleep. That's it?
Vacation.
Clean.
Vacation.
No, I'm at home. You missed it. You know why? Because you're late, Nick. Come on. Just kidding. I love you.
Organize.
Organize. What else?
Read.
Purge. Anything else? What?
Journal,
okay. So a lot of us would clean, a lot of us would purge, so yes, I agree with you. If you know me at all, you know that my 30 days began with a list. I had a list of things that we're going to accomplish. Here was the first to-do list that I had. Wake up, make coffee, drink coffee, make more coffee. That was my first to-do list, yes. No, but really, I had all these ideas. I was going to repaint the kitchen table. I was going to repaint the benches, repaint the cabinets. I was going to also put a fresh coat of paint on some of my pots that are outside, replant some of my succulents. Stuff in the garage was going to be cleaned out. Pictures were going to be printed for albums. There was a list of things to do. Would you like to know how much of that actually got done? I drank coffee. Well, I pretty much repotted some of my plants, and that's just because they got knocked over in the front of the house. I repotted some of the plants, and I printed some pictures, and that's all I did. Now, you know, it was hard because I feel that I am the queen of getting things done. I am the queen of getting things done. And I came to the end of the 37 days, and none of those projects were done. So the first text I am supposed to preach on here at New Song is this. So the wall was completed in 52 days. That is only 15 more days than my 37 days off. That is only 15 more. They built a whole wall, and I repotted some plants and pressed print on a machine. That's what I did. I was wondering what Nehemiah might be thinking of me up there, like, wow, what a slacker. I'm so glad she's not on our team. She wasn't on our team. But why did I not get these things done? I had several valid reasons. I have four teenagers in my house, okay? There was always somewhere to go, something to do, some friend to hang out with, something. They were on summer break. There were several days where I did stuff that were not on the list. It was just projects that came about. One of the things that I really got sucked into is, you know those videos that say, here's how you make this thing in 3 easy steps. Here's how to cook like a whole Mediterranean, you know, meal in this 30-second video. You've seen these, yes? Well, I got sucked into a video that I had convinced myself I could make flour tortillas from scratch. Well, let's just say there is no recipe on this planet that I can follow and get right. I am just designed to be a creative cook because those flour tortillas turned out more like English muffins. Chris put some butter on his. He's like, oh, this will go good with butter. So anyhow, I had come to the end of my 30 days and I did not have much on my list done. I got distracted with other things and I was pulled in one direction or another. And it was just distractions that came my way. And here we are, Nehemiah completed the wall in 52 days. Now, if you have been here for the sermon series at all, you would know, did distractions come to Nehemiah's front door? Yes, they did. He could have been so distracted. He could have also been so discouraged because these distractions were designed to keep him from completing this wall. So, you know, let's do a quick recap of all the ways Nehemiah could have been distracted and discouraged along the way. So if you have a fill in the blanks in your hands, I'm going to go through these like rapid fire, so make sure you're paying attention, okay? So a quick recap. First of all, he could have struggled just to begin the project. Have you ever been so overwhelmed that you don't know where to start? Yes. So distraction, discouragement in the form of the magnitude of the task. The magnitude, the sheer size and scope of the project was huge. The wall had been in ruins for almost 200 years. And the rebuilding of this project could have overwhelmed him. And as soon as he began this project, he got moving. What started? Mockery and ridicule. Mockery and ridicule. We met two characters called Sambalat and Tobiah. And the first thing they do is start mocking the Jews. They said in Nehemiah 4, what are those feeble Jews doing? Even if a fox climbed up it, he would break down their wall of stone. The ridicule could have made him stop. When that didn't stop him, there was intimidation and threats of violence. Enemies plotted to attack them. We heard the passage where they were working with tools in one and holding a sword in another. You guys remember that? So they could have been distracted and discouraged and stopped because of this. Could I have my water bottle there? I'm getting too excited. Just wait, I haven't started singing yet. That's coming. So threats of violence. The people were experiencing exhaustion from the work itself. And that caused a lot of internal division between the workers. The workers became tired. It says in Nehemiah 4:10, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. So famine and financial crisis really caused some internal division among them. Then we had people pretending to be his friends. There was false friendship and manipulation happening. Enemies were pretending that they wanted peace, right? And they were trying to manipulate Nehemiah into conversations. They invited Nehemiah to meet them in the plain of Ono. Do you remember what Grant said? That the warning is in the name? Ono! Right? Don't go meet them in Ono. But Nehemiah knew it was a trap. And lastly, there was just over and over and over again repeated distractions to waste time. Sambalat sent the same message four times. Come, let us meet together. And Nehemiah said each time, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. So lots of valid reasons to be distracted from the work. Lots of valid reasons to be discouraged from the work. And it got done in 52 days, despite all of this. And in our text today, it says not only was it done in 52 days, but it says when our enemies heard about this, all not some, all of the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So the reason the wall stood was simple. God was in this. The holy God was in this. This was a miracle that made all nations fear. Nehemiah wasn't a construction manager, right? And these people were not professional builders. God was in this. The holy God was in this. And the enemies didn't shrug. They trembled because they knew this was not a human achievement. So they lost their confidence. Think about it. For 141 years, the wall was rubble. The generations lived with brokenness, shame, vulnerability to the enemies. But in less than 2 months, the wall was restored. That kind of turnaround time on a project can only scream one thing. Can you say it with me? God was in this. The holy God was in this. So even the people that despised the project, even they became witnesses to the holy God's glory. And they realized that Nehemiah's God was in control of everything seen and unseen. Now, we'd love it. We would love it if this story ended with confetti and celebration, right? Confetti and celebration. But Nehemiah can't do that here. He can't tie it up in a bow because in today's text, even after the wall was built, even after the miracle, even after the nations are scared, even after all of that, today's text tells us that his enemies were still trying to distract and discourage him. The ops were still around. You guys got that? Okay, thank you. That's a young people term. The ops. Now you know. You can say that to one of the young people. Okay, I'm going to read. Nehemiah 6, also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to them, since he was son-in-law to Shechananiah. I'm going to say that wrong. You said it excellent. Can you read every name from now on, Rob? Son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of this guy, Masalim, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and telling them what I had said, since Tobiah's letters were to intimidate me. So just when you expect this celebration, Nehemiah tells us the reality of what's happening. The nobles of Judah who were working alongside him were acting as double agents. They were acting as double agents, and the ones reporting back what was happening, what was not happening, all the things. What betrayal Nehemiah must have felt, right? What betrayal he must have felt in finding out these people were double agents. And not only that, but they were coming to him and saying, oh, Tobiah is so good, and oh, Tobiah is so great. His letters kept coming. His intimidation kept coming. Whispers were still rumbling. Humiliation was still trying to get him. There was opposition from every side. It just wouldn't stop. It just wouldn't stop. The wall was built, but the discouragement and the distraction did not stop. And that is the end of this chapter. There's no indication at the end here that Nehemiah lashed out or that he had a plan to retaliate. And if you've been here again for this sermon series, you know that we're picking a Beatles song to kind of fit the theme of our message. Because the Beatles wrote about real life things, yes? Real life challenges. And this week, I thought the most fitting song would be Let It Be. Let's sing it. Ready? Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Okay, we'll stop right there. Just let it be. No, I said stop. So, this part, let it be, I can almost picture Nehemiah maybe even singing, right? Like, oh, there's Tobias, double agents, let it be. Oh, there's another letter, let it be. Oh, there's these people that are reporting, let it be. I can just see him saying, like, it is what it is right now. And I have a job to do. So there is this miracle that God has completed. And again, here come the ops, right? It's just ongoing. And he's there shaking his head saying, you know, they're trying to bring me down. Well, let it be. And the chapter ends with Nehemiah doing what he has been doing this whole time. He has been focused. He has been surrendered to the work that God gave him specifically to do. So he knew it. Say it again with me. We're going to get louder as this day goes on. Ready? God was in this. The holy God was in this. This is how Nehemiah stayed focused and surrendered. How do we today remain focused on the work that God has called us to do, designed for us to carry out? How do we do this in the face of distraction? Not the silly distractions I just talked about, right? The making English muffin tortillas or, you know, drinking more coffee as the day goes on. Not stuff like that, but real life stuff. How do we carry out what God has called us to do in the face of discouragement and in the face of distraction? So a few years ago, I had the privilege of baptizing my eldest daughter, Kaylee, right here alongside many of you. You were here for that. I have some pictures right here. In that first picture, you can see me squinching my face because I cried. I cried in that moment. When I had the microphone in my hand, I said, Kaylee girl, this water is not magic water. This water is not going to make your life easier. This water is not going to keep you safe from problems. This water is not going to do any of that. It's not going to keep you safe from fears. It's not going to keep you safe from the enemy. There is nothing magical about this water. But what you are doing today, Kaylee, is publicly saying that you, that God is in this with you, daughter. God is in this with you, and you want to be in it with him. And God is in this with all of us. He's in this with all of us, but we not only have to let him be with us, we have to seek to be with him. It's a two-way street. C.S. Lewis said this about our relationship with God. Relying on God has to be done all over again, as if nothing had been done yet. Does he say every once in a while? Does he say every Sunday? Does he say when you feel down? He said relying on God has to begin all over again every day, as if nothing had been done yet. That was Nehemiah's story. His reliance on the holy God is what enabled him to focus in midst of distraction, to focus in the midst of discouragement. The way he led, the way he responded, to hold firm to what he was doing and how he was doing it, he relied on God, the same God we have in our story today. Nehemiah's God is our God. Being a follower of Christ does not mean that opposition ends. We encounter, right? We encounter distraction and discouragement, yes? What real life valid things have you walked through? Are you walking through right now? My microphone has a mind of its own. What real life things? Is it broken relationships? Oh, this feels too broken to come back from. How am I going to come back from this? Is it failing health? I don't know how this is going to end. Is it financial stress? We all have that. What real life valid things have you been discouraged and distracted by? Is it even maybe discouragement in your faith? Someone last Sunday, who's here every Sunday, said to me, I just don't feel like God sees me. I just don't feel like God sees me. And you know what God did that day? Spoke directly to that person immediately. It was amazing. But what real life things have you been discouraged by? I think sometimes we like I said, the task looks impossible because it's maybe too big or too hard. Criticism from others might be a thing that will discourage us. Fear of what might happen. This is a big one. Fatigue. I'm just too tired. I'm just too tired to do this or to do that. And this, I believe, is the biggest one in our day and age. The greatest distraction is wasting time. Wasting time on things that don't move God's mission forward. Wasting time. You know, we have an enemy that will always, always, always try to devour us. And getting baptized, coming to church every single Sunday, will not make us immune to life's troubles, as I told my daughter. But what it will do, coming to church, doing those things, getting baptized, being in your Bible, praying, all of those things, what those things will do is bind us more closely to the holy God that will lead us through. That will lead us through every day, again and again. We have to be able to claim that God is in this with us. In John 16, 33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Sometimes you know those mugs and t-shirts that have like inspirational verses and lovely quotes on them. I always say, I would like this on a cup. I would like this on a t-shirt because this is real life. In our lives, we will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. 2 Corinthians, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Nehemiah also does another thing consistently over and over and over again. He points to the holy God for all the glory. He doesn't just claim to be a good project manager. He doesn't just claim that God gave him, you know, this vision and he just runs with it and does whatever he wants. He points to the holy God time and time again. In chapter 2, the good hand of God was upon me. God has put all of this in my heart. The God of heaven would make us prosper. Chapter 4, the God of heaven intervened with the plans of the enemy. The God of heaven will fight for us. He continually pointed to the holy God. The battle for faithfulness never really stopped in the story here. And it doesn't stop for us. In Nehemiah's story, it came stone after stone after stone, letter after letter after letter, threat after threat after threat. How does it come for us? How does it come for us? Is it something that comes for you every day? Is it something that comes once in a while? What is sent your way to distract and discourage you? But every day, Nehemiah fought to be faithful. And the testimony here at the end was undeniable. Nehemiah 6:16, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. The work had been done with the help of our God. This week when I sent the weekly text, right? If you don't get a weekly text, fill out one of those Connect cards. We're figuring out a couple glitches because some people aren't still getting them. But please put your name, your number, your email. Say, give me the weekly text. But I asked this question. It was, if the story of your life were written today, would others be able to clearly see what has been built could only have been done by God? Which, by the way, when you send these responses to, it's kind of like the Connect cards. It gives Grant and I an insight to what is going on with you, what your heart is walking through, what you're thinking about. So if you ever have the phone in your hand while you get that text, please reply. We see them. So some folks responded to this question with yes, absolutely, 100%. People who knew me even a little while ago would not think that I am the same person today. That was some of the responses. Some folks responded with, you know, yeah, I've had several rough moments, I've had several God moments, I've had several moments that were full of grace. But most people responded with something like this, and I think this is the response that a lot of us in here resonate with. They said a combination of things. They said, well, I would love to say yes to this question, that others could clearly see that my life has been built only by God. They said, yes, I would love to say this, but my life is not made up of miracle after miracle, or a big come to Jesus moment, or a big whatever the story is. I'm just kind of ordinary. I'm just kind of ordinary. But here's the truth of all of these responses. Here's the truth. God is in this. God is in this. And I believe whether your story is big, with a big story to tell, a big moment, or if your story is a string of miracle after miracle, or if your story is a bit ordinary, with just many little consistent choices time and time again to choose to follow God, whatever your story, I think if we are indeed focused on the work that God has called us to do and focused on faithfulness every single day, whatever the story, if you are focused on that, others will see that. Others will see that. And whether you know it or not, people pick up on things. Has your pride changed a little bit? The way you respond to things? Has your generosity changed? Has your compassion towards others changed? Maybe your desire to serve increased? Have your choices changed for the better? So we can say that God is in this with all of us in here. God is in this. I think the times that we feel distracted or discouraged, again, this is not the end of the chapter. This is not the end of the story. When we feel distracted and discouraged, I think that this is the place where God truly steps in and his glory shines through. His glory shines through. I think it's so interesting that God, in Nehemiah's story, Nehemiah wasn't a king. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't even a priest. He was an ordinary fellow who was easily dispensable in the job he had. But God called him an ordinary man with extraordinary willingness. And his response was, here I am, Lord. Fill me. Use me. Be in this with me. Be in this with me. I'm going to call the band back up. This microphone is not my friend today, Justin. So while I was on my 30-day vacation, drinking my coffee, I had a really interesting moment. And let me tell you, I really, 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 really missed you guys. I really missed you guys. I missed being here. I missed seeing you, singing with you, praying with you, drinking coffee with you. I told Chris, I said, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to complete the 30 days and stay away. He said, stay away. And truth be told, I did sneak in a couple times. Nobody knew about it. Oh, was that Melody? I don't know. It must have been the wind. But anyhow, I really missed everything about being here. I really missed everything about doing what I do. And in that moment, I actually got really scared because I thought, what if I don't get to do this anymore one day? What if I don't get to do this? And almost as immediately as I thought it, I stopped and prayed because I was a little shaken. And what follows doesn't usually happen to me very often where I feel an immediate answer to prayer. But in that moment, I believe it was given to me by the Holy Spirit. And this is what I heard. I heard, Melody, it doesn't matter if you're here, if you're there, or if you're anywhere. Because it's not about you and what you do. It's about me and what I am going to do through you. That's what I heard. So I think whether we are senior citizens, whether we are students, whether we are kids trying to figure life out, whatever the case may be, it is what God is going to do through you. Through you. But every day we have to start over as if nothing had been done yet. Will you stand and allow me to speak some scripture over you this morning? And then when I'm done with that, we're going to sing loudly to the Holy God. So Paul says in Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hebrews, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. In Corinthians, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So Nehemiah, you, me, here we are, Lord, send us. Amen to that? Here we are, Lord, send us this week, when the voices of distraction and the voices of discouragement come your way, when the weight of exhaustion presses in on you, or when temptation whispers your name, or when fear rises, don't lose heart, don't give up. Instead, lift your eyes to the Holy God. And would our confidence in the Holy God shout louder in our hearts, in our minds, louder than any distraction or any discouragement that would come our way. Will you say this with me one last time? God is in this. The Holy God is in this. Let's sing. Amen. I'll have you take a seat. We have a very real way, to know that God is in this with us. We don't just look at the finished wall, but we look at the finished cross. The night before he went to the cross, Jesus gathered his disciples, his friend, and he gave them bread and a cup, saying, "This is my body given for you. This is my cup, a new covenant of my blood." Why? So that every time we do this together, every time we eat and we drink this together, we are reminded that God is in this. God is in this. He is our salvation, our forgiveness, our endurance, our victories. Now, something Grant and I try to make very clear here is taking communion is a choice. Taking communion is a choice. It is open to those who are actively seeking to be followers of Christ. If that is you today, then run to the table with joy and confidence. With joy and confidence that even in the midst of distraction and discouragement, God is in this. Maybe don't run too fast, but run. Do you know what I mean? Like, just with the confidence that we are given, that He is in this with us. He is in our story, our victories, our struggles. But if this is not you today, if this is not you today and you're not ready to quite take a step like that, that's okay. There is no judgment here. This is between you and God. But just know with confidence that He will still pursue you time and time again because His love is steady and His invitation is constant and His grace is for all of us. There's a table in the back with Kate and Chris, and I will be up here with Jim. Please come get your elements and hold it, and we will take it together. Today, we come to this table knowing that we have someone in this with us. And not just someone, but someone's. Look around. We do this together because this life is not made to live alone. This life is made to be in community. In good times and bad times, we cry together, we sing together. Jesus did this with his friends, and this is why we do this together. So we take the bread and the cup this morning, and would this be our prayer as we read what's going to be on the screen? Lord, here I am. Use me. And that our fight to be faithful would start again and again every day. Let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What is next Sunday? Soup Sunday, Alec. You are excited about that. I'm excited about that. There's been some amazing soups while I've been out. Chris did bring me a little sampling of a couple of them last time, so I can't wait to eat next Sunday. Stay next Sunday, bring a soup, bring something to share if you want to. Also, right after Soup Sunday, New Song Explored. If you are not a member and you are checking out New Song and you want to know a little bit more about that, that is next week, also after our gathering. So please stay for that. The other thing that I want to tell you is I mentioned baptisms today. We have a few people in our congregation that want to be baptized. If that is something that interests you, please take out a Connect card in front of you, write on there, baptism, write your name, a phone number, somehow that we can get a hold of you, and we will talk about baptisms. And the last thing, we are having, apparently we like to eat here. We are having an all-church barbecue Sunday, September 21st, after our service. And so we want to do that in partnership with everybody here. There are lots of signups right outside on the table. You can sign up for cookies or hot dogs or hamburgers. So between a lot of hands, the work is light, yes? So please don't leave without signing up, or I'm just going to start chasing people into the parking lot, because I've been known to do that too. So I got it all. Now let me speak this blessing, and please feel free to linger a little while longer, grab some more coffee, say hello to someone next to you. But until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.